This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Later in the show, we'll hear about an upcoming conference that highlights the Cincinnati area's crucial role in the Underground Railroad. Starting us off this afternoon, many credit it as a major catalyst for the revitalization of downtown, and most of us have a tough time picturing what Walnut Street between 6th and 7th Streets looked like before the Aronoff Center for the Arts opened its doors in 1995. Joining us for a look at what the Aronoff means to Cincinnati as it celebrates its 20th anniversary are Cincinnati Arts Association President Steve Lofton, Todd Dusing, Director of Operations for the Aronoff Center for the Arts and the Cincinnati Arts Association, and Van Ackerman, Director of Marketing and Public Relations for the Aronoff. You can join us with your questions and comments at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Steve, Todd, and Van, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Steve, how did the Aronoff come to be?
Well, it's obviously been a little over 20 years now, and there was a general feeling that two things needed to happen. One, we needed a high-quality, first-class performing arts center in our city and make sure that it was the attractor of touring Broadway and other types of sophisticated entertainment. And secondarily, like many other downtowns around the country, Cincinnati had fallen behind in the sophistication of the downtown area. And it was strongly held that, as you said in your opening, that this could serve as a catalyst for a downtown redevelopment process. So the opportunity came down the road from Columbus. And there was a $40 million available funding from the state of Ohio if the local community could match that funding. And so that's exactly what happened. The city of Cincinnati stepped up, provided the property and the area streetscape. And that was a little over $22 million in value. And then local fundraising private came in at about $20 million. So altogether, we had an $82 million project, and it came to life.
And so it really was everybody pulling together to make this happen.
It was truly one of those opportunities where the public and private sector worked together to make that happen. And now, 20 years later, we're all benefiting from that.
Yeah. Was it an easy project to put together?
Oh, you know, all these projects are so easy to put together. of course, it was difficult. All of the things that went into that are, of course, getting all that funding secured. That was always, that's always a big challenge anytime mm-hmm. you're looking at a big project. But I think that the things that stand out of that is that our leaders from our community, whether it was the city government or some of the folks that were really responsible for raising the major money, and of course our benefactors, Procter & Gamble and the Kaplan family, all stepped up, and Fifth Third Bank, and all made this happen. So, no, it wasn't easy, but probably the easiest part of it was the construction. It was a 30-month construction, started in 1993, and we opened in October of 1995.
Well, were there any naysayers, or was there any opposition when this first came out as an idea?
You know, there as pretty much there always is in communities, there was concern that, you know, whether it's public money being spent in that particular way or whether or not it would have any impact negative on existing halls, particularly music hall. And one of the great things that was done to make that work well and successfully was that the two organizations that were responsible for Music Hall and now the Aronoff Center merged in 1992 to become one organization, a nonprofit, and became the Cincinnati Arts Association and have been managing the Music Hall and Aronoff Center ever since. And that made sure that Music Hall would continue to thrive as it has.
Todd, how quickly did local and national arts organizations realize the Aronoff's potential?
You know, I wasn't there in the beginning, but that type of thinking started right away, mm-hmm. and it continues to this day. The Aronoff Center is really a first-class institution because it can do so many things, touring Broadway, being a home for the Cincinnati Ballet, a home for small resident companies that are thriving and growing in our community. And so on a national platform, we are very well known for having so many great residents, but also an excellent structure that can be so many things and a versatile hub for community gatherings and kind of a central point for groups together throughout our city.
One thing that happened also is when the Aronoff Center was built, because as Steve said, one reason it was built was to be a home for touring Broadway here. Mm-hmm. The Broadway series in the city actually went from a one-week subscription run to a two-week subscription run, in large part thanks to the Aronoff Center and the support of all of the audience here in Cincinnati. So I think that's another reason that we see the success of the Aronoff and how it's really, really grown the city's arts.
And I would like to add that another thing that occurred simultaneous with that change was that the Cincinnati Ballet relocated from their series at the Music Hall to the Aronoff Center. And that really, ever since, has, I think, provided them an opportunity to explore different directions in their repertoire and have really, truly made the best of it. And then it also left available dates at Music Hall for other productions there.
Now, Todd was talking about some things that make the Aronoff unique and special. What are some of the things that you think make the Aronoff such a special venue?
Well, I would have to start off the list by saying the design of it. It's designed by Cesar Pelli and Associates, and they brought a world-class level of architecture to downtown Cincinnati. And truly, it's obvious when you hear the architects speak about the Aronoff Center, a lot of elements from around Cincinnati were taken into that design. Some of the Art Deco influence from the Union Terminal can be seen throughout the building. The use of masonry is evocative of a lot of the buildings that are already in existence in Cincinnati. And the architect was really, really insistent on finding a building that would bring life into downtown, but that recognized the importance of the architecture already in place in Cincinnati.
Todd, how much has the center changed in its 20 years?
You know, it really hasn't changed a lot because it's a timeless building. The design is so incredible, and the finishes were thought through so perfectly that it's been a very easy building to maintain, and it doesn't require much change, and it really becomes a versatile, well-thought-out space. People have changed over time, I think, and some of the productions or the shows that come through, and to the point of what's, you know, the favorite part of the building, I would say that the people now are for sure my favorite part. We've had subscribers grow, and we've ranged from 18,000 Broadway subscribers to 22,000, depending on the season. The Broadway has grown, the ballet has grown inside of our theaters, and then also our volunteers. We have nearly 800 volunteers that have been with us. As a matter of fact, 82 of those are original from the beginning. You know, we have the community being a part of this building, not just in the art form, but in the support and then also in the service delivery through our excellent volunteers and staff. Many of the staff have been with the property since the inception, and we have one of the most regarded local stagehands union and hair, wardrobe, and makeup union in the nation. They are efficient and well-skilled, and it's a great workforce for the building and to deliver the great art to our citizens.
How many performance spaces are in the Aronoff?
There are actually three public performance spaces. The Fifth Third Bank Theater is a studio theater, seats about 120. And then the intermediate theater is called the Jarson Kaplan Theater. And that's really kind of, it could be a landing point from the Fifth Third if you were a up-and-coming arts group and you made it to the next phase, to the Jarson Kaplan Theater. But we have a good number of resident companies that are in the Jarson Kaplan Theater. And they include our longtime resident, the Cincinnati Music Theater, Contemporary Dance Theater, Exhale Dance Tribe, the Cincinnati Boy Choir is now also a resident, and so many more. And we're just pleased to have them be a part of that theater.
And in addition to these performance spaces, we're really proud of the Weston Art Gallery, which is a home, as you know, for regional and local artists, are displayed throughout every season, and generally as many as 10 different exhibitions will occur each season. And it's just a fantastic opportunity for emerging artists and already settled artists to come and show their work in downtown Cincinnati. So when folks come to performances, they stop in the gallery and visit before and during the show. So it's a fantastic opportunity for our local artists.
And that show typically, in some cases, happen or in the Jarson Kaplan Theater or in our main hall, Procter & Gamble Hall, which is our hub for Broadway across America, or Broadway in Cincinnati and the Cincinnati Ballet. But it's also been so many different things. We have the Long Island Medium, Teresa Caputo, there on October 30th. And we've had the ballet and Peter Frampton did this amazing mashup on the stage. It's kind of been an art form for all things. Campaigns with Vice President Cheney speaking on stage, politicians like Margaret Thatcher as a part of a women's lecture series. It really has done just about everything on the stage that you could think of.
So it sounds like over the years it's evolved beyond just doing Broadway productions and into doing so many other things.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, by intent, the Broadway series was beginning to outgrow the Taft Theater where it was originally based. And so in the design, it was definitely thought to make it a longstanding home for the Broadway series, including an interesting note is the rigging points for the chandelier for Phantom of the Opera, which were designed into the building space and a part of the long-term plan.
How many people pass through each year?
About an average of between 420,000 and 440,000 people on an annual basis over the last 20 years.
Yeah, well, when it first opened, how many people, what kind of reaction did it get in 1995?
Well, actually, it was a great reaction. I remember opening week myself, we had open house when the first weekend, and I think there were probably over 50,000, almost 60,000 people passed through. So it was over about 500,000 people came through that building on the first year.
I was actually there on opening night for the Music of the Night by Andrew Lloyd Webber, but I was a senior in high school, so it definitely set the tone for what was ahead for me. And I think it has for a lot of other people, too. I mean, 20 years later, we have a lot of students from CCM and NKU School of the Arts that are now on the stages of these national tours, so they get to come back home and be the performer.
Vanna, what kind of impact, economic impact, has the Aronoff Center had?
I think it has had, an obvious economic impact in a variety of ways. You ask any restaurant downtown what they're like when a performance is in the hall, and they'll say that they are always full. They are the prelude to the show that happens at the Aronoff Center, and they're just thrilled when all of our shows are in. It affects a lot of things downtown. We've just commissioned an economic impact study from UC, which we'll be releasing in a week or two, which will have more information about that at that time in terms of the larger economic impact study. But I think our 20-year attendance figures are over 8 million people. We have done about 13,500 events throughout the 20 years. It's had a big impact downtown, and as many people say, the Aronoff Center really started the whole renaissance of the downtown area that has now led to the Fountain Square evolution and the banks and over the Rhine. It really all started to happen back then when the Aronoff Center was built to create this sort of downtown entertainment district and core.
And it continued to happen with particularly restaurants and bars. We've seen 17 different restaurants and bars pop up around the Aronoff Center. And on a show night, you can't get into not a restaurant or a Nicholson's without a reservation. So it's been great, and great for our patrons, too, that ease and access.
We will continue our conversation about the Aronoff Center as it turns 20. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Joining us for a look at the Aronoff Center for the Arts as it celebrates its 20th anniversary are Cincinnati Arts Association President Steve Lofton and Todd Dusing, Director of Operations for the Aronoff Center for the Arts and the Cincinnati Arts Association, and Van Ackerman, who's Director of Marketing and Public Relations for the Aronoff Center. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Steve, what have been some of the challenges that the center has faced in its 20-year history?
Well, I think one of the two things that come to my mind is, like everybody else in 08, 09, when we had difficulties with the recession, that first of all, I think people were reticent to spend extra money. So we saw ticket sales, you know, slow across the board as most people did around the country. And an interesting sort of twist on that topic is, while it wasn't terribly impactful right when that all was happening, we saw sort of a delayed response. A year or two later, we felt some of that. And the way we felt it the most was that tour shows, particularly Broadway, were going out a little less frequently, and there were less investments being made in the original product on Broadway. And of course, the touring Broadway industry is completely reliant on the product that comes out of Broadway when it's produced. So we saw a slowing in that production of Broadway shows. So there was a little less product, and we saw some impact from that in scheduling in a year or two later. But I would say after we rebounded, it's been great sailing ever since. And I would submit that possibly because of the stable economy in Ohio, we didn't feel it quite as badly as some cities did around the country. And another thing that comes to my mind is there was a period that we experienced some boycotts from various artists, and that had a diminishment on the programming impact at the Aronoff Center and other halls in the city.
Was that around the 2001?
Exactly.
When the unrest was going
on. That's exactly right. And some of the artists were responding to that trouble and choosing not to perform. And so that was a slow time and a difficult time for our community. But we're very pleased that we believe we were able to bring people together for opportunities to join together in the community, and we did move through that difficult period. But I look back and say that was one of the humps that we had to move past.
What have been some of the highlights?
Well, I'll embarrass Todd here. Todd was really instrumental in helping to recruit the World Choir Games to come to Cincinnati. There was an opportunity leading up to the 2012 World Choir Games to lure that project to, first of all, the United States. It had never been in the United States ever. It had been a very successful program that was having global impact. And so a team of people led by the CVB here, Dan Lincoln and his staff, put together an effort, and Todd and his staff also helped with that. And together we were able to convince the World Choir Games that Cincinnati, USA was absolutely the destination for that conference. And certainly everybody knows the success that was. And it brought, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of people to downtown Cincinnati from within and without the immediate area. The Aronoff Center was certainly one of the primary facilities for the performances that occurred. In their own words, we couldn't have pulled it off if we didn't have the kind of arts facilities we have in our city. And Music Hall and the Aronoff Center were key in that whole project. So that remains one of my high points for sure.
And I absolutely think when we went to do the bid in Graz, Austria, it was so easy. I was delivering the components that were a part of the arts, and it was so easy to talk about the arts in Cincinnati because it's so well supported and so many lovers of the arts. But the facilities that have been invested into, or we are investing into in the future, made that opportunity happen. It was almost, you know, comical to hear some of the other cities try to hang in there with us because we were so outstanding in comparison, and that included Music Hall there and Off Center and other venues throughout town.
We had a caller who wanted to know where the name of the center came from.
That's a great question.
Yeah, very good question.
And it goes back to what you were saying earlier about how we got the funding for doing this.
Well, first of all, former Senator Stanley Aronoff from our area, of course. If folks don't know him, they should know that he's been a champion for the Cincinnati area for probably 40 years. Senator Aronoff was known to be a supporter of arts activities and arts funding. And then when he realized that there was an opportunity to secure this $40 million in state funding, he led the charge in Columbus to secure that funding. And it was definitely a wild ride for sure. And I think this entire community owes a great debt to Stanley Aronoff for helping make this a possibility. So we're proud to bear the name, the Aronoff Center.
And who are some of the other key players who were involved in creating and supporting the center?
The chairman of our organization, Dudley Taft, was very, very involved and key in that. And he worked together with other prominent local supporters like Bill Keating, a lot of the corporations, Western Southern, Fifth Third Bank, P&G, and the Kaplan family, I think, as I mentioned earlier, all were really very, very instrumental in bringing the local funding together. Otto Buttigan was then the chair of the Convention Visitors Bureau, and they got on board with supporting it. And so it truly was a huge community effort, from the smallest of gifts to the large multi-million dollar gifts.
Todd, are there recurring performances at the Aronoff? Are there certain things that go on year after year?
Sometimes, but you know, I think that's one of the beautiful things about the Aronoff Center. There's always such a variety, and I would say more so than there are recurring performances. We have some of the same residents in our local arts groups, but they're so talented and so creative, such as the Cincinnati Ballet and others, that they're always reinventing even old pieces that are timeless pieces and making them new and exciting. So we have some interesting things that happen on an ongoing basis, particularly with the business community, I think, is a segment that is more recurring than the arts. Wednesday, we had the Brandery Demo Day in the Jarson Kaplan Theater, and that's become an annual event.
So how do touring companies like performing at the Aronoff?
You know, they love it. They love it a lot. And I'll tell you, it's here's the little inside scoop on that. It's because, like Van said, we're a two-week market. So in between their 2 weeks of performances, there's that Monday dark day. So they get a day off in Cincinnati, and they love Cincinnati. I mean, we hear from the cast a lot. They go into OTR. They go next door to NADA. They enjoy the living spaces and hotels and baseball games and everything there is to do that makes Cincinnati so great. Mm.
And they love our audiences here. I hear that over and over from the actors. The audiences here are so appreciative. And because the theater is so intimate, and it looks large, but it's really a very intimate space, they could really feel the audience energy there. And they really appreciate that. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard an actor say, "We love the approach to your city." When they're coming down that cut in the hill and they see that skyline,
yeah, yeah.
They love Cincinnati and they love Skyline Chili and Graders. The city is so welcoming and so many ways to these tours. And like Todd said, to be here for 2 weeks and to sit down for that long and to really enjoy the city is really a treat for these actors.
And then they have the Westin Gallery in our building to check out during a break or go across the street to the CAC. So there's so much access to them when they're in downtown living.
Steve, what's in plan? What are the plans for the Aronoff's future?
Well, you know, it's always a demanding time when you're looking at programming and what's coming out on the road. So our goal is going to be to continue to remain relevant to our community, trying to make sure we continue to bring the best and the most vibrant new performances to our facilities. And we'll look forward to that next 20 years because the first 20 has been great. And we know the next 20 will be just fantastic.
Well, thanks, everybody, for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark.
Cincinnati Arts Association President Steve Lofton, Todd Dusing, Director of Operations for the Aronoff Center for the Arts and the Cincinnati Arts Association, and Van Ackerman, Director of Marketing and Public Relations for the Aronoff Center. Coming up, a look at Cincinnati's historic role in the Underground Railroad and an upcoming conference to highlight that heritage. Thanks to Louise Cantor for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. This is Cincinnati Edition.